It ain't just wide open.
No, he didn't slam you, he didn't bump you, he didn't nudge you, he rubbed you.
It's WFO.
And rubbing, son, is racist.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to WFO Radio Podcast. Joe Costello here. We're getting ready for the weekend. We have got a great opportunity to catch up with a NASCAR Cup Series driver talking about Ryan Preece. Ryan going to be talking about the next three races, the road to Homestead, trying to win that Rookie of the Year battle. Before we get to Ryan, just seconds from now, want to remind everybody you can listen to the podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, plus the free WFO Radio mobile application for iPhone, Android. Just search WFO. Like wide freaking open radio, and you will find us. We do NHRA Mellow Yellow drag racing, of course, out there on the tour every week. We cover NASCAR, Formula One, have a whole lot of fun on the Ignition podcast that everybody is talking about. Click subscribe. We would love to be a part of your podcast listening. Been doing it for 10 years. Started out in Miami on Sports Talk Radio, moved to XM Satellite Radio, NASCAR Radio for a while. And now, as you know, the podcast scene has exploded. We are about to celebrate our 10th anniversary. Click subscribe. We would love to have you as a weekly listener. But right now, let's hear from our guest. Joining us now, he jumped on the scene with a big top 10 finish at the Daytona 500. He now finds himself locked in a tie for the Rookie of the Year points with just a few races remaining, headed to Texas this weekend. Ryan Preece joins us on WFO Radio. Ryan, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
I am great. I am great. So, looking back at the start of the year, you exploded on the scene, strong run at Daytona, and now you find yourself in a really tight battle with just a few races remaining. You know, what is your outlook as you get ready for the conclusion of the 2019 season?
You know, hopefully we're going to go into Texas this weekend and have a solid run that'll set us up for Phoenix and Homestead. So that's those are two races that are extremely important that could really set our season up for a solid ending at Homestead. So I'm excited about it. I feel like we've been making a lot of gains these last few weeks, and you know, hopefully we can continue that and hopefully start pulling away a little bit from Daniel.
And the Rookie of the Year points, obviously, that is a label you want to carry with you for the rest of your life. There's been so many great ones out there that go on to great things. We got word of you from a friend of ours who lived in Connecticut, and he said flat out, like, watch this kid. The kid's great in modifieds. He's got great talent. Keep your eye on him. So we have had our eye on you over the course of the season, and I would call it a strong rookie campaign. I would love to hear your thoughts on the learning curve. You know, jumping in a cup car, and the rules are a little different. The package is a little different. Maybe everybody is learning and sorting things out a little different here in 2019. But just give me your thoughts on the entire experience.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I mean, really going into this year, I felt like everybody was going to be somewhat on an even playing field. When we showed up to Vegas earlier this year, before anybody hit any racetrack, we were one of the fastest cars there, and just so much development has gone on. So it's definitely been an eye opener, I would say for sure. We've certainly had our ups and downs, but I feel like what matters is we've jumped back on that horse every week and continue to make gains, and that's what's put us back in this position for this Rookie of the Year title with Daniel Hemric. You know, I think we were down about 80 points about 2 months ago. So we were able to really just reel them in and have some luck on our side to be able to make this a fight. So outside of that, the new package has definitely been something different. The restarts have been absolutely insane, I think, for a fan's perspective, for sure. It gives you a lot of opportunity to make track position. So it's going to be a nail biter for sure, and it's going to be exciting when we're able to get down there at home to Homestead and really just go for everything, right?
Yes, and Homestead is a track that we love it obviously down here, but I think the country loves it because it makes for great racing already. Like, the restarts are already crazy. They've always been crazy, and we've seen five wide, a lot of chaos. The championship races always end in an amazing fashion. And now the new rules package, which has made restarts crazy everywhere in play, I don't even know what we're going to see. We might not be able to handle it.
Yeah, I think you guys are all going to be on the edge of your seat, and it's going to be absolutely insane. So I think, you're going to have some guys that are risking it all and putting it against the wall at Homestead, and you're going to have some guys trying to stay away from it, trying not to cut a tire. So it's gonna make for some exciting racing.
All right, let's talk about learning curve in that. I love to learn and from other people's experiences, right? Like, you're going through this, and I like to think about exercise. When you go to the gym, you, like, work out for a while, and then you hit a plateau, and then you have trouble breaking through that, and then you do, and you start learning again, you start growing again. How has it been tackling all these different tracks? Like, I think about you going to Texas this weekend, extremely high-speed track. You're coming from Martinsville. You're going to Phoenix, relatively flat one-mile track. Then Homestead's totally different. So you're really having to have a very open mind to learning all the basics of the character of each one of these tracks. I know it's going to be much easier the second time through, but what has that experience been like? Like, really having to just take in even basic core information about where you're racing?
Well, I think it just, like you said, it really is different going from different tracks all the time and really knowing where you're at and understanding what this track is compared to the other ones. A lot of people call mile and a half cookie cutters, which they're generally pretty close to each other, but there are a lot of differences that do affect the cars, like the bumps and just understanding how to get around to get back to your pit stall and things of that nature. So it's different. It's definitely a learning curve, and what you got to do is to be prepared. Is as I've gone to these tracks, I've kept a little notebook writing details that I feel are important. So I revisit that and just kind of refresh my, everything that I've thought about that place and everything that I learned for the first time, along with looking at, we get data that shows a whole bunch of things like throttle trace, brake trace, steering trace of other drivers throughout the course of the runs that you can look back. So we have access to a lot of things to help us be prepared. And that's kind of what I do on the weekly basis of trying to be prepared for the next one.
No, exciting to hear that, the technology and data and analytical world is making, driving at least the learning of the tracks a little bit easier. Do you have something you prefer? I know your background, talk about, modified racing, and I know there is a rich history of that and great drivers who have come down from the Northeast. I think that is kind of cool. But now that you can run, super speedways, formerly we would call them plate tracks, right? Like the extreme super speedways, high banks of Daytona, Talladega, to an extreme short track like Martinsville. Do you have something that you consider your favorite? I would imagine short track racing is in your roots because you've done it, but now you've been exposed to so many different styles of racetracks. So what has really clicked with you?
I would say short tracks are really the places that I enjoy racing the most, just because that's my background, right? So it's something that's extremely familiar, and no matter where we go, I feel as prepared as I possibly can be. So I would say Martinsville, Bristol, those are places that I really circle on my calendar, and Homestead definitely brings that same type of feel, just with what you're able to do to make a difference and to pass people and make gains.
Excellent. Yeah. They rebuilt that thing so many times, and then they finally got it right in such a great way. Plus, the Florida Sun has done a great effort to wear it out, which we love. In that you guys are slipping and sliding all over there. You got to work to find a groove. What other tracks remind you of that? There are a couple out there that you got to work to find where your car is going to be fast. And just because it's fast there, like right now, it might not be in a little while.
Rubber build on the asphalt, that takes away grip from us. So we constantly have to move around looking for grip. And obviously when you find grip, you find speed. So those are that's something that I would say you definitely need to do at Homestead throughout a run, just because of what the Florida sun is, you know, it's baking the track. It gets super hot and greasy, and obviously it's just wearing the tires out. So, you know, when we come to Homestead, we all know that it necessarily doesn't really matter about your raw speed. It matters about how well your car will hold on for the long run. So, you know, we'll see in a few weeks. I'm looking forward to getting down there.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're looking forward to having everybody. We are a little sad, though, I will admit. Like, losing the final race is something that we're going to have to adjust to, because we're like a big event Homer-type town. And so, but we'll deal with it. Don't worry. So anyway, you're 29 years old. You just had a birthday. You're about to be 30. This is your final year in your 20s. I know some people get depressed about such things. Yeah. What about you?
Nah, it's just a number to me, man. I look like I'm about 23, 24, so it doesn't really faze me. It's just a number.
Good. That's a really good attitude, and it'll get you a long way. And it's better to look younger than look older. A lot of people like it the other way, especially when you're trying to go out and, you know, get a driver's license, et cetera. As you've done this transition, you know, Cup Series, first year, all the travel, all the effort, I'm sure there's a lot going on. Has there been a person who has been a specific mentor to you to help you through some of these things, a veteran driver, a family member, someone on the team at JTG who has taken you kind of under their wing and given you the details of how to handle certain situations as a Cup driver?
Kevin Harvick's been great to me. Kevin, you know, Ryan Newman, a couple guys that I've met throughout the years and really made a huge impact on helping guide me. So, you know, really fortunate to be, you know, able to go to those guys about certain situations or whatever it may be and get the advice that I've, you know, gotten. So, who knows if, you know, things would be going the way they would be going if I didn't have people like that able to help me or talk to them about situations.
Excellent. And there's been, you know, this is a kind of an interesting question. I want your opinion because you're a young driver making your life in NASCAR and you want it to go well and everybody wants it to go well. And there's mixed news about, you know, NASCAR, certainly the way a lot of people in the media are portraying, you know, the direction of the sport. I feel like, I'll give you my assessment real quick. It's just that, you know, timing, right? Like, Jeff Gordon and Dale Jr. and Tony Stewart and Danica and everybody seemed to know has kind of moved on. And now we've got a group, a large group, you were involved in that group, of new faces, right? And it's like hard to love Ryan Preece the way we loved Dale Jr. because we knew Dale Jr. so well. It's just as simple as that. But you're out there trying to earn fans, right? There's all these kind of directionless fans that don't have the guy that they love anymore. And we got to figure out who's it going to be. Is it going to be William Byron? Is it going to be Alex Bowman? Is it going to be Kyle Larson? Is it going to be Ryan Preece? Is it going to be Daniel Hemric? Who's it going to be? How do we do that? How do we sort that out? I would love your opinion and your thoughts on where NASCAR is and that challenge for you, right? Like, you have an opportunity to go earn all these fans that don't have a driver to root for anymore just because of the timing of the situation.
Yeah, I think that just comes down to personal preference, right? The type of fan that typically, you know, comes to me is your fans that like cars, that work on their cars, or, you know, are very hands-on with things, because that's the type of person I am. So a lot of people tend to, I would say, come towards me when it comes to that, just because that's something that I've been my entire life with my race cars is, you know, whether it was setting them up, maintaining them, or building them, I've been a huge part of that. So, and that's something that I've also put out on social media when I, you know, years and years ago, while I was building them or, you know, getting ready to leave the shop or whatever it was. So that tended to have, you know, an effect, and people, you know, they were really supportive of it, and, you know, they would share their experiences too. So that's kind of the fan that would always gravitate towards me. And I'm just an honest person. So what you see is what you get. And I think people tend to appreciate that too. So, I'm extremely lucky to have the fans that I have, and I'm looking to hopefully grow that fan base and keep moving forward.
And what about the greater sport in that, to me, I think they're making a lot of moves. The way that this playoff system is working, yes, a little more challenging to explain. Yes, it is. But the right people climb up the ladder.
Yeah, no, it's difficult, right? And in any sport, if it's worth that little bit, it's not going to be easy. It's not supposed to be easy. And it definitely creates a challenge. You never settle down until after homestead. You're always fighting it. You know, with the old system, it used to be, all right, you know, we have a 100-point lead or whatever. That's 2.5 races. We can win the championship before homestead. And now it's not like that. You have to fight for everything you have, and you're never secure. You never know until that last lap is done at homestead of if you pretty much either won the race or finished second or whatever it may be. So it just really goes to show you how important it is to not just have a good stretch of races and being consistent. You have to go and win races. So it's going to be exciting when we get to homestead.
Very exciting, Ryan. Good luck in the Rookie of the Year battle. Thank you so much for your insights here today on WFO Radio Podcast. We really appreciate it. I know it's got to be tough out there, but also a lot of fun chasing the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series dream. And we wish you the best of luck in Texas, Phoenix. And of course, we'll see you right here at Homestead Miami Speedway at the end of the year for the Ford EcoBoost 400. We are so looking forward to it. Thank you so much for spending a little time with us here today.
Absolutely. No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much, and good luck in Texas, and we'll see you in Homestead.
Thank you.
There he goes, Ryan Preece. Follow him on Twitter, Ryan, Preece, _. And he's got 20,000, almost 21,000 followers, which is very cool. And very interesting. Folks at Homestead Miami Speedway making that one possible. And we're going to send our WFO Radio audience members, some of them, to Homestead. We've got some free promo tickets that we will be giving out on the podcast between now and Homestead Miami Speedway. So subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, download the free WFO Radio mobile application, and we'll be ready to go. It's all brought to you by the folks at Total Seal Piston Rings, TotalSeal.com, MagicDryUS.com, the official organic absorbent of the NHRA, SamTech.edu, the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, frankhawley.com, Dragster Adventures, what you want to do, and Rodax Coffee and Grills.com. Big thanks to Ryan for joining us on the show. Oh, yes. Love hearing his thoughts on the Cup Series, where it's been, where it's going, and also that age is just a number. Because it is. It is. Until you hit 45, and then it really starts to get in your mind. But that's a different story. All right, everybody. The archive is loaded. We got an Ignition show that'll make you laugh. We got NHRA interviews that'll get you excited for the Dodge Nationals in Vegas. And, of course, big thanks to Ryan Preece for coming on the show. WFO.
WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
I love WFO radio.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, welcome to the party.
You're working in the shop, you've got spills, you've spilled oil, it's everywhere, what are you going to do? I know what you're going to do, but that's not the best way to do it. The best way to do it is to go to MagicDryUS.com and order the official organic absorbent of the National Hot Rod Association, Magic Dry. It's lighter, it absorbs more, it's better for the environment. It's made out of coconut. It's made in America. MagicDryUS.com. They've got spill kits that include everything you need for a regular, normal household spill, all the way up to a large industrial spill. We always say, if you've got a cat, get CatSpot. If you've got a shop, if you've got a factory, if you've got a spill, call Magic Dry. That's MagicDryUS.com. Attention adrenaline junkies, Frank Hawley's Dragster Adventure is calling you. Rides available for the 2020 season. Go to frankhawley.com. They're coming to a track near you. It makes a great gift, and you know the holidays are coming, whether it be licensing for Super Comp, Super Gas, all the way up to Top Alcohol, they can do it. But if you're a drag racing fan and you've always imagined what it might be like to drive a dragster to accelerate 0 to 60 in 3 seconds and run 10s in the quarter mile, give them a call. 866-480-7223, frankhawley.com, the Dragster Adventure, and tell them you heard it on WFO. Hey, engine builders, Total Seal Piston Rings are the leader in ring seal technology, and they go out of their way to help their customers and will make custom sets for any specific piston you might have. Customer service, top notch. Made in America? Absolutely. They're located in Phoenix, Arizona, and they've got everything it takes to develop the world's best piston rings. Give them a call at 800-874-2753 or go to totalseal.com.
Subscribe to WFO Radio on iTunes. Never miss a show. And don't forget to write a review. WFO.
This is WFO Radio.